Good evening.
How are y'all? Go ahead and be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Randy did have their pictures up there, but Carson, a boy, 6 pounds. Kenley, a girl, 6.3 pounds. That's Larry's grandkids. Remember to pray for them. Let me encourage you to pray for our church. Pray for our pulpit committee. We have a pulpit committee in place. We're seeking the Lord's guidance and His leadership. We need His help. We want to be sure that we can find the pastor God wants us to have. That's our goal. That's what we're praying for. That we can get the right man. I think He has somebody for us. We just got to find Him. So please pray for the pulpit committee, if you would. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit, and I'll get Jeff up here in just a minute. Let me mention this to you. Alan will be preaching Sunday morning, so please pray for him. We took a little time off during the holidays, but we're getting back in the swing of things. Get started back wide open, I hope. Get started good. One of the worst things that can happen to a preacher or a teacher is not have a message or a lesson. But what worse than that is have two. You don't know which way to go. I studied all week on what I started a few weeks ago on after the rapture, what next. I had one more in a series of that. That's what I planned on teaching tonight. But about 5 o'clock this morning, the Lord changed my mind that I want to do something else. I told Randy if there's a title to this lesson, it would be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. The Bible talks a lot about we as Christians, that we're at war, fighting against the devil. And the Bible teaches us, I believe, that we need to be a good soldier in our fight against the devil. Anyone have a prayer request that they need to make known to the group? Ms. Linda? Maybe the same one. Go ahead. Thank you. I don't have our bulletin prayer list, but there's quite a few names on that prayer list. Most of you know most of them, I guess. So please pray for those. Let me mention to you my granddaughter-in-law is in the hospital. I don't know if that's the right term or not. My grandson's wife, put it that way. She's in the hospital and needs our prayer, so please pray for her, if you would.
Lucy Godfrey's having surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, broken arm. She fell. Yeah. I don't know where or I don't know what time. Yeah, Lucy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think I hear them coming. We'll wait just a minute before we pray. Amen, guys. We've got, Randy had a picture of him. He took it down.
There it is.
There you go. The boy is Carson, K-A-R-S-O-N, and the girl is Kenley, K-E-N-L-E-I-G-H. The boy is 6 pounds, and the girl is 6.3. Larry's all excited. He's got pictures already. He's going tomorrow to see his grandkids, so he's happy. We've already done prayer requests. Any of you guys have a prayer request?
For Miss Fiona's mom and Miss Condon's daughter.
All right. All right. Somebody in the back? Is that it? Right there, right in front of me. All right.
Yeah, the children's home, you know, the kids at North Cap Christian, they're all over the country right now. Max is in Puerto Rico. Some of them are in Charleston. Some of them are in Savannah. They're on missions trips. So pray that the Lord does great work for them. And that especially Max gets back home safe, because they actually had to cancel his because of Donald Trump's field trip to Venezuela. They had to slow his down a few days. So anyway, you know, they're just praying that God will use those mission trips to be a blessing to those kids, and they'll grow and see a need to serve the rest of their lives.
All right.
My dad.
I love to hear these kids ask prayer for their parents.
Yes, amen.
That's great. I love that. Don't ever stop doing that. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful for today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace toward us. Father, for the request that's been made known, I lift each one of them up to you. And I ask you to do what only you can do. And I ask you to work in each situation that's been mentioned. You know what the needs are. We just ask you that you would touch. Have your way. We ask you to be with us tonight as we study your word together. I ask you to use me to say something that will be of help to someone in here today. We pray for our church. I ask you to bless our church. We pray for the pulpit committee. I ask that you to be with us and guide us to the person that you would have us to be our pastor. We just ask you and praise you and thank you for what you do for us. All these things I ask in your name. Amen. All right, yeah.
Okay, let's all stand. No. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, for we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Every Bible is turned to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many have their Bibles? All right. Rest of you are unarmed. You're in a war, but you're unarmed. I want to talk to you tonight about being a good soldier. The Bible talks a lot about being a soldier for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse number 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that we may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You have been chosen when God, through His Holy Spirit and through the gospel, let you hear the plan of salvation, and you chose to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross as for you, then you became a soldier in the army of the Lord. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse number 10. Verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." How much of the armor of God? The whole armor of God. "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I don't know about you, and I've mentioned this in Sunday school quite often, I guess, My desire as a Christian, I've been in this a long time, but my desire as a Christian is to finish strong. There's no reward for those that quit in the middle of the battle. So I encourage you to set a goal for yourself. I'm not too much for resolutions, but I am for setting goals. You set a goal for your life. We are starting a new year. Set some goals. And as you make your list of them, make your list of your goals. And when you finish one, mark it off. I had some goals last year. Some of it I did, some of it I failed. I didn't finish all of them. But my desire this year is to try to finish those goals that I've set for myself. I hope that you'll do that. The Bible, in a lot of places, refers to as your weapon. Your weapon. In this war that we're in, the Word of God is your weapon. It's what you use to fight the devil. If you remember, when Jesus came upon John the Baptist on the River Jordan, baptizing, he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. John didn't really want to do it, but he convinced him to do it. That was the beginning, really, of Christ's ministry. He's about 30 years old at this time. This is where he started his ministry. It talks about what happened after he came up out of the water, that a voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Then a dove came down out of heaven and lit on him. But that, any time you see a dove in the Bible, it's a type of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit descended. And remember now, Jesus, he's the Son of God, but he's human. He's human. He needs the leadership, he needs the guidance, he needs the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has sent him here to do. Remember his life for 3.5 years, but he came into this world to die on the cross. Was not a surprise to him. He came to do that. That's what he came for, to give his life for in my place and in your place. See, we deserve to go to the cross because we were sinners. He did no sin, so he didn't deserve to be there. But he was willing, and this blows my mind, he was willing to do that. He was willing to go through what he went through for one reason. He loves you, and he loves me. Isn't that something? That God himself loves us that much. Isn't that something? But we're talking about this being our weapon in the battle that we're fighting against the devil. I remember when I went into the service, we were our first real day to train with our weapon, I guess. You go into the armory and you are assigned a weapon. You're assigned so much ammunition for that weapon, for the training for that day. In the evenings when you finish your training, you don't go and hand that weapon back to the armor. You have to clean it. A lot of times we trained in the rain, we trained in the mud, so our weapons got filthy, they got dirty. So you had to take that weapon apart, oil it down, and then put it back together. We got to where we could do that pretty quick. That was the goal, try to be able to do it quick and do it right and do it quick. And our sergeant, he decided we was doing it pretty good too. So one day, we got all of our weapons out on a table, got them all disassembled, and he come up with the blindfolds. We had to put blindfolds on, and we had to put our weapon together with the blindfold on. We got pretty good at it. It took a little practice. We got to where we could do it blindfolded. But we knew our weapons that well. If this is our weapon, Amen. Do we know it that well. I remember when we first started, our rifles was M1s. I think that's a World War II reject. I'm not sure about that. I know it's that old. But we, about halfway through, we got M14s, which is about 10 pounds lighter. I mean, felt like. I'm sure it wasn't 10 pounds lighter. But it was a different type of a weapon. And it was lighter. It was, you know, it was easier to carry. On long marches, it was really easy to carry. If you, we had 20-mile marches. And pack and your weapon, it got awfully heavy before the 20 miles was up. I'll tell you that for sure. But look at it like this. Thinking about this. Let me just mention this. This is kind of why I went this way. In my Sunday school class, we had Wednesday night service in there for a while. Somebody left their Bible in there, still in there. It's a nice Bible. I almost took it home 2 or 3 times. But I don't know if it's any of you or not. I don't know who it is. Because I looked in it, and there's no name in it. So whoever that person is, unless they have another Bible, they're completely unarmed. One of the worst, I guess the best things you could say, that our drill instructor taught us, that's very important, because this I was in during the Vietnam War, so it was they were serious about what they taught us, because most of the outfit ended up in Vietnam, I'm sure. But they taught us to know your enemy. Find out as much about your enemy as you can. I don't want to give the devil any credit. I even taught a Sunday school lesson one time on the devil, trying to get people to understand how he operated, how he worked. So the better you are about knowing how he attacks you, the better you can defend against him. But you defend it with your weapon. And the Bible says this is our weapon. So we need to know as much about our weapon as we can, especially you young people. You're at the age where you can learn. You can memorize things. You can look up scriptures and you can remember. If you remember when Jesus was baptized, after God spoke to him out of heaven and after the dove came, the Holy Spirit came down and lit on him, he went directly into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. We probably don't get up to Satan's scale tempting us, but he has a lot of little imps that he helps him with us. But in the temptations, 3 times, the devil tempted him. And each time, he quoted scripture back to the devil. He used his weapon. He used the word of God. The scripture he used is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, of all places, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But that's what he used to defeat the devil. And we are supposed to follow him. We're supposed to use him as our guide. We're supposed to try to be like him. That's what the Bible teaches us. To be, God is going to try to make us as much like his son as he can. So we can use him to follow his examples. What I'm saying is to you today is you need to know your weapon. You need to know your Bible. You need to study and read and memorize as much of your Bible as you can so that when the devil comes at you and begins to tempt you, you would know. If you hadn't memorized the verse, if you know where you can find it, whatever the temptation the devil is putting on you, if you know the right word, if you know the right verse, you can use that against the devil. You can defeat the devil with the word of God. That's what Jesus did. And we can do that if we know the word. If we know our weapon, we can defeat him. Let me give a good example. Think about this. Suppose you're having a bad day. Suppose something is going on in your life that you're struggling with. You don't know why it's happening. You don't know the answer. You don't know what to do. I mean, sometimes we just don't know what to do. But the devil will come to you in your weakest moment. And he will tempt you. What if he does this? What if he comes to you when you're having a bad day and he says to you, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. You wouldn't be having a bad day. See, I told you God doesn't love you. If the devil does that to you, what's a good verse? Probably the most quoted verse, the most known verse in the Bible. John 3:16. It says, for God, not just loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I did this. I don't know. Maybe you, do you write in your Bibles? Some do, some don't. Mine's written all over. When I find a good verse that speaks to my heart, I'll underline it, I'll highlight it, I'll put parentheses around it, I'll draw arrows to it, I do everything. When God speaks to me with a verse, I do that. Maybe you don't. But if you do, when God gives you a verse, make a note of it. Mark it in your Bible. Because I'm convinced when God gives you a verse, you're going to need it. Does that make sense to you? He gives us a lot of times, he will give us a verse before we need it. But see, he knows the future. He knows what we're going to be facing. He knows what we're going to need. So maybe he gives you that verse before you ever even need it. But mark it down. I did this. Not like I say, you may not write in your Bible, but I do. Where it says, for God so loved the world. I put right above the world, I put me. I wrote me. Then when he says, for God so loved, I thought, I put down me. Me. He loved me. So what I'm saying to you is, you need to know as much about what God has put in his word. It's all there for a reason. A lot of times, the Old Testament especially, you look at that and say, well, I don't even study the Old Testament. I don't even read the Old Testament. You need to. You need to. Because, see, it's God's word too. There's things in the Old Testament that'll help you. There's things in the Old Testament that you need. So don't just read the New Testament. It's all God's Word. It's all inspired by God. It was written by men, but it was inspired by God. All of this is God's Word, regardless of who the author is, regardless of who wrote it. It's all His Word. If we will do what the Bible says, if we will read and study, memorize it if you can, memorize all the verses you can while you're young. Try to go into God's Word as much as you can. Let me ask you this. I'm not too much for you get these in my Bible. I don't think it's in this one, but one Bible I've got. It's got a list of all the chapters in the Bible. And it's got a date assigned to it. If you read each day, if you read a couple of chapters usually, then you can read the Bible in a year. You read the whole Bible. That's good. I'm for that. Much as you can. Read the Bible as much as you can. But you know what? I think it's better, as good as that is, I think it's better to take maybe one verse, maybe a few verses, maybe a chapter, and study. Get you a concordance. If you don't have a concordance, get you a concordance. Get you a Bible dictionary. You need a Bible dictionary because words, the Bible is over 2,000 years old. Words have changed. They don't mean today what they meant then. So get you a Bible dictionary. When you come across a word you don't understand, look it up in the dictionary. Get the meaning of that word when it was written. See, because it may have changed. It may not be the same today. But I would rather you dig into just a verse or two and understand it. And know what you just read. I think that's better. I think the other's good, but I think this is better. To find out as much about it as you can. I talk a lot in my class about trying to put yourself in Bible days. When you study a character in the Bible, try to put yourself in your imagination. Try to put yourself in that person's shoes. When they did something good or bad, try to understand why they did what they did. Whether it's something they did that was good or whether it's something they did that was bad. Try to put yourself there, and it will help you to understand maybe why they did what they did. Does that make sense to you? And maybe it will help you to understand the There's a lot, and I had some more things I'm not going to read right now, but there's a lot to be said about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When I read my Bible, unless I'm studying something specific, even then I do it, I guess, too. I ask God to help me to understand what I'm reading. You need to do that before you ever pick your Bible up. Help me to understand what I'm reading. Help me to get it, so to speak. And the Holy Spirit will work and show you. He will help you. That's what He does. One of the many things He does is to help us to read and study God's Word like we should. I have a challenge for you tonight. This is a challenge for the youngest and the oldest. It doesn't matter. My challenge to you is, you've probably got this figured out, but my challenge to you is, and get this, pray and ask God to give you a love for His Word. Now, I think that's a prayer God will answer. I think God will answer a prayer. Help me. Give me the desire to want to read and study His Word. If you're brave enough, pray and ask God to do that. To give you the love of His Word. To give you the desire to read His Word. To give you a desire to understand His Word. If you're brave enough to do that, I encourage you to do it. Because I believe He will do that. I've done that before. It's been a while, but I've done that. Maybe we all need to do it again. Maybe it's been a while since you've done that. Maybe it'd be a good time to do it. Just pray and ask God to give you a love and a desire for His Word. And I believe He would do that. I was going to get started in that other, but I don't think I will tonight. I'll save that for another time. But I want you to think about what was said tonight. I hope you'll take it serious. I hope that you'll do that. Remember, I know it's a little early, but I don't want to get into something I don't really have time to finish. So we'll be dismissed. But remember the prayer request that was mentioned. Think about this. When people ask you to pray for them, two things. That's an honor, because they believe you can get in touch with God in their behalf. So when they ask you to pray for them, that's an honor. They think you can get in touch with God for them. But it's also a great responsibility. When they ask you to pray for them, a lot of times people will say that, please pray for me, and we don't think that much about it. Maybe we'll remember it later, maybe we won't. So when they ask you to pray for them, that puts a responsibility on you. So please remember, when people ask you to pray for them, it's an honor, but it's a responsibility. All right, if you rise to your feet, you'll be dismissed. Thank everybody for being here. I appreciate you coming. I hope something was said that will be of help to you. Remember our service this Sunday? Home going to be gone Sunday?
Yes,
going to be gone? Well, no, we'll sir. Miss y'all. We'll miss you when you're gone.
The home will be here. The home will be here Sunday.
No, they'll be here? All right. Good. Good, just to be good. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege of spending the study of your word together. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. You'd help us to do what we've talked about tonight. Father, we ask you to have your way Sunday. Be with Alan as he stands. Use him. Have your way in all these things, we ask in your name. Amen.